The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features ensure that you can take on any adventure. What kind of features? Well, how about the available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud? Or the standard third row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together? How about available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone? We're always trying to think about those great spring and summer getaways, but with a car like the Hyundai Santa Fe, anywhere can be your next adventure. To learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe, go to HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Chip Patterson, Tom Fernelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott. It's your call for the best college football coverage, from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
Hey, y'all, I'm Bud Elliott, and this is my college football summer school series on Cover 3. I bring on the team experts from the 24/7 sports staff and ask them the questions I care about. No fluff. Which players will be toughest to replace? What position groups are sneakily better or worse than I realize? We get you the scoop on each team in 20 minutes or less. Let's go. Hey guys, Bud Elliott here. Welcome back to College Football Summer School on the Cover 3 Podcast. Today, we are talking Tennessee. They're off their best season in a long time. And to do that, I'm going to bring on Patrick Brown of GoVols 24/7. Patrick, welcome back to the show, man.
Glad to be back, Bud. Glad to be back in your summer school again for a second straight year.
Absolutely. Last year, Patrick was on it, saw a lot of potential, a lot of promise for this team. And yet I feel like they also exceeded most people's expectations, winning 11 ball games, not really lucky in doing so. Top five power rating, bunch of blowout wins, generally dominant, only two losses, really. What was it like to cover this team?
I'll be honest, but it was a lot of fun. You know, I've covered Tennessee going full time back to 2011. And to be honest, I've seen a lot of bad football. I've gotten really good at covering coaching searches and random drama and things that a lot of people that are in this business may have not seen close up for. And we on the Tennessee beat have seen it multiple times. So it was a lot of fun. Tennessee had the best offense in the country, won some really big games. They were undefeated at Neyland Stadium. They had so many big wins, big moments. You go back to Pittsburgh, they beat Florida in September. They go to LSU, and I think that was when people realized, like, oh gosh, this team could be pretty good. They win by four touchdowns down in Baton Rouge, and that Alabama game was an all-time classic. I'm sure maybe Alabama fans don't remember it that way. Tennessee fans will never forget it, but a lot of neutrals, as they say, probably love that game. It's back and forth, high scoring. So it was a lot of fun, and then, you know, even covering a New Year's Six Bowl, you know, Tennessee going to the Orange Bowl after I lost those two games in November was a lot of fun getting to cover like a big time bowl game. So it was a lot of fun for me personally. It was a lot of fun for a lot of Tennessee fans too. And I think everybody's just hoping that they can continue on this track and that nothing will stop the train and the momentum and the positive vibes that this program has come upon pretty quickly. Because, you know, this time 2 years ago there was a lot of uncertainty, and this program's had a lot of tough times, and around this time 2 years ago, or two years and a few months ago, was probably one of the close to rock bottom times there was.
For sure. It's not often a program narcs on their head coach to avoid paying a buyout, but they are really, really rolling. I do have to give you one question from the comment section before we jump into the breakdown of the 2023 squad. Is there any truth to the rumor of the whole locker room fight before the South Carolina game? Because the Georgia loss, I can get, right? Like, Georgia's got great players. Tennessee, when they have better players, they usually steamroll everybody. That was just a weird one to watch.
We still get this question from time to time. I don't know that there was a fight. I do think that there was a player in question is Jeremy Banks. He's the guy that was starting linebacker that missed that game. I think even if he plays, it doesn't matter. Tennessee was just had the bad night of all bad nights, and Spencer Rattler got hot early and stayed hot. It happens. I don't think there was a fight, but I do think there was some disagreements. And in Banks's case, there was a series of things leading up to that week and early in that week that led to him not making the trip. And it did, you know, everybody, some people do want to blame him and say that there was, and, you know, it was all over NIL and all this stuff. There were a lot of rumors flying around. But I don't think there was a full-on fight, as some have maybe suggested or tried to paint as the truth.
All right, comment section. We appreciate y'all joining us live. We can put that one to bed. Patrick Brown with the final word on it. So as you mentioned, this was the best offense in the country last year, especially when Hooker was in there. I felt like he was just extremely good in the college setting with a guy who was that veteran. Now they move on to Joe Milton, who I'm from Orlando. He's from Orlando. I've seen this guy since he was probably like 14, 15 years old. Have you ever seen a guy with a stronger arm than Joe Milton? Because I'm not really sure that I have as a prospect. This is different.
No, I think the best arm I've covered at Tennessee was probably Tyler Bray. And Tyler could throw the football all over the field. But you don't arms like Joe Milton's don't come along very often. I think if he was in the NFL right now, I mean, where would you rank him among strongest arms? I think he'd have to be up there, right? Top three, yeah, at least.
Like, I want to see a throw off with him and Josh Allen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in Neyland Stadium, watching them warm up and throw passes. And I mean, from up high, up at the perch that we have, it's pretty majestic to watch him throw the football 60 yards like it's nothing. I remember they brought him in for Hail Mary at the end of the first half of that Alabama game for like a million things that happened. So nobody remembers this, but he was like kind of falling away to his left from like the 35, 40 yard line and flicked his wrist. And it was so effortless. And the ball landed, you know, front corner of the end zone. It is really amazing how well he can throw a football. And they've tried to get that to where he puts more touch on it and he's able to make the shorter throws with better accuracy and more consistency. And I think he's shown signs of doing that.
Patrick, obviously, I mean, he didn't work out at Michigan. Tennessee feels like they're able to unlock some accuracy stuff with him. I know just from, you know, talking to people around there. How will they call the game differently with Milton with his skill set than they did for a Hooker?
That's a good question. And I think one of the advantages for Milton going into this season, it's his third season at Tennessee. He knows this offense. The coaching staff knows him. Josh Heupel, Joey Housley has been Heupel's quarterback's coach for a while. Now he's the offensive coordinator. Heupel will probably take over maybe more play calling duties than maybe he did when Alex Golish was there. But they have a full offseason to sort of know what this guy does and sort of tailor things around him. I think you saw that last season with Hendon Hooker. You know, they knew he was the guy. They saw what he did in 2021. They could build things around him. I don't think Milton is as good or maybe as elusive as a runner as Hendon Hooker was. Hooker's slippery, can put some moves on guys in the open field. Milton's athletic. I think he's got some good straight line speed, maybe not Anthony Richardson level, but when he gets going, he's 6'5", 240. He can move pretty well. I think the difference is maybe he's not as willing to scramble. I think he trusts his arm a lot. And so sometimes you see him hold the football maybe too long where he takes sacks he shouldn't, because he knows he just needs somebody to get open for a split second. He's got the arm strength to get it there 15 yards downfield. So I do think in terms of what they're going to look like offensively, I think Milton showed in a couple of those games late last season that he could be really effective throwing the football over the middle of the field, slants, posts, things like that. I think he did really well throwing between the numbers against Clemson in the Orange Bowl. That's where he had some success. He had a couple of nice throws in that Vanderbilt game as well, where he hit those sort of in-breaking routes. So I think that can be an area where, you know what he can do down the sidelines, you know what he can do down the middle of the field, 40, 50 yards downfield, but maybe that intermediate range, 15, 25 yards, 10 to 15, 10 to 20 yards over the middle of the field. I think that's an area where maybe could become a bigger part of the game plan. Not that Hendon Hooker could make those throws, but with Milton and some of the things he can do, I think that's an area that you could see Tennessee sort of build upon and try to maximize as he takes over as the guy.
And with his arm strength, you have to respect the throws outside the hashes so much. Like, you just don't have a lot of time to react to a ball that's humming like that. So maybe that just makes the, you know, the middle of the field even more open if possible. But speaking of outside the numbers, no team in the country threw a higher percentage of its passes to outside receivers than Tennessee. And they lose Jalin Hyatt, so I know he played a lot of slot, and they lose Tillman. Is there any way this group can kind of hold serve and avoid a drop-off? And if so, who's going to be the most key for that?
I think there's reason to think they can. Well, they have a guy that's, you know, well, they have that 1,000-yard receiver like they've had the past two seasons with Tillman and Hyatt. I don't know. It might be a little bit more spread out. And certainly the way that Tennessee runs its offense, there's, you know, they spread guys so far wide that you know, there's a lot of room over the middle of the field that they can exploit. I think in terms of looking at this receiver core right now, I think you have to start with Brew McCoy. I don't think he's going to be the big, you know, big play guy like Jalin Hyatt was. I don't know if he's going to be a downfield 50-50 ball guy like Cedric Tillman was, but he's so big and physical. He's a tough matchup on those comeback routes. He's a tough matchup work in the middle of the field on some of those posts and slants. He obviously made that great catch against Alabama with two guys bearing down on him. He's a big physical guy that brings that edge to wide receiver. If there is a big play guy, I think there's two guys. It's Squirrel White, who we saw get loose a little bit in the Orange Bowl against Clemson. He's a guy that's not very big, 5'10", 160, 165. They really challenged him to put on a little bit more weight, put on a little more muscle. He's quick and elusive enough to make things happen after the catch on some of those bubble screens, the quick perimeter throws that you mentioned. He's also got the top end speed to get downfield over the top. He got downfield quite a bit in some games that he played last season and is able to track the football well and make plays. He plays a little bit bigger than he is in some of those situations. And a guy that Tennessee's really excited about is Oregon transfer Dante Thornton. Not a lot of production with the Ducks. Did have some big games, did have some big moments late last season. I know he had a big game against Utah in a game I think Oregon won, if I'm remembering correctly. And he's a guy that the Tennessee staff has talked about using a little bit like Hyatt, where they move him around within the offense. They create matchups for him. Maybe not a guy that you line up outside and say, hey, get off press all game, but a guy that you use some motions, get some free releases, some stack formations, things like that to get his speed and maybe create some mismatches there, which is what they did so well with Hyatt. So I think you got to start with those three guys, and Ramel Keaton may end up outproducing all those guys just because he has a really good connection, really good rapport with Joe Milton. He did a great job stepping in for Cedric Tillman last season. You know, he got in there and ensured that there was, you know, they didn't really skip a beat with him. He's not Tillman. He's not going to be that big power forward like guy, but he can make down that incredible diving catch that flipped that Florida game around late in the first half. So he's shown he can get the job done, and he could be maybe the most consistent, reliable guy. But those are four players that I think Tennessee feels pretty confident in. If they have some injuries, they're gonna be throwing some young guys in there, but that top four I think they feel pretty good about, and certainly it's a situation where if you're losing two guys like Hyatt and Tillman, those are the guys you like to have replacing coming up after them to kind of keep the train rolling there.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential, and then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think it makes sense that Tennessee would go out and get Thornton. Like, I look at this transfer portal a lot like baseball free agency, right? Like, okay, maybe the guy didn't succeed here pitching, but you know, like a team like the Rays or something, they say, okay, I like this guy's spin rate and his one pitch he throws. We're going to get him in, change up his arsenal a little bit, just emphasize what he does do well. Like, that seems like a fairly targeted shot by Tennessee to go out and get that speed guy that they can, okay, he doesn't get off press, no problem. You can't really press Tennessee slot with the way they do things. And we certainly know he's fast. I'm excited to watch him. Offensive line wise, you got to give Tennessee credit for finally getting that real high level of play out of Darnell Wright that I think you saw as a recruit, you know, could be achieved if he could put it all together. And last year he finally had that just awesome season. What's your take on this offensive line this year?
Yeah, they've got some big shoes to fill. You mentioned Darnell Wright, top 10 pick. He played at an elite level last season. Guys with his combination of size and power and agility and athleticism, they don't grow on trees. There's not another one of those, I think, rolling around the program right now. So and then you throw in Jerome Carvin, who I think had more starts in his career than Wright did. Experienced guy. He gave them the luxury of if anything happened to Cooper Mays at center, he could slide over from guard, play center. That's an underrated thing that gets overlooked because, you know, college football coaches can never have enough centers, guys snapping the ball. So they've got two big holes to fill there. Obviously, Cooper Mays comes back at center. Javonte Spraggins is back at right guard. Those will both be third-year starters. The other three spots on the offensive line are really up for grabs. And I know, obviously, Darnell Wright started at right tackle, but they've kind of opened up left tackle as well. Used a couple guys there, and Gerald Mincy was a transfer from Florida that started 7 games. Jeremiah Crawford started the other 6. They brought in John Campbell Jr. from Miami. He chose Tennessee over Florida and Florida State out of the portal. Started 12 games for Miami last season. So they've got some options there at those tackle spots with experience. Mincy flipped over to the right side. He'd kind of been maybe mostly a left side guy, but flipped over to the right some. You know, Tennessee's got some guys that they think can play both left and right. Campbell is probably sticking it left as he continues to sort of learn the offense and get comfortable. So it's going to be, honestly, it's going to be impossible to have one guy step in there and beat Darnell Wright. I mean, that's not realistic. But I think Glenn Ellerbe, the offensive line coach, has done a good job developing players individually. He's done a good job of developing this unit collectively. They took a step, you saw, from 2021 to 2022. So you kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. And you know, they've put offensive lines out there without sort of maybe that top-end talent and still, you know, produced a lot of points and yards. So big picture, you know, is it going to hurt the offense? It's going to hurt the offense. Will it cause them to you know, really struggle on offense? Probably not necessarily, but I think this offensive line is, they could have a chip on their shoulder because a lot of people are going to be doubting them. You know, a lot of people are going to be wondering how good they're going to be without Wright, without Carvin. And, you know, offensive linemen are prideful guys. You know, they don't like to hear that kind of stuff. And I think you saw this group play with a little bit of an attitude last season. And a lot of those guys, other than Carvin and Wright, are back. So, you know, that they're, if they're able to carry that on, I think they should be able to mitigate the drop off to where, yeah, they might give up a few more sacks. Maybe the rushing yards don't, you know, maybe they don't average 220 rushing yards a game, but the end product is still impressive, and Tennessee's still putting up a lot of points and putting up enough points to win a lot of games.
Is Campbell moving around all right? I asked this because I thought his PFF stuff last year was really good through the first like half of the season. He actually tweaked his knee in warmups for the FSU game and missed it. And then when he came back, his PFF stuff kind of dropped off a cliff from my recollection. And I was like, I wonder if this guy's just trying to gut it out and you know, play hurt for his team. When healthy, I thought he was a quality football player. Have you seen him move around? Have you heard anything about how he's moving around?
I haven't heard anything about an injury. I think he looked fine in the spring. Okay. You know, they kept him at left tackle because, you know, you get a lot of even transfer guys that have played multiple offenses at other schools. They get to Tennessee's offense. They're like, this is a lot different than I've ever played in. And so there's sort of a learning curve. Brew McCoy's talked about it. I mean, even Hendon Hooker said there were times he was pulling his hair out early his first year in this offense just because it's so different. And they do so many different things that it's just a different way of playing. And so, you know, Gerald Mincy came over from Florida, didn't have as much experience as Campbell does, and he sort of needed a spring to get his feet wet, and then he went and won the starting left tackle job last in preseason camp last year. So I think Campbell can probably do the same thing, and I would probably think he's going to be the starting left tackle when they open up the season.
And Mincy also, if I recall, he's a Florida kid, very like a lot younger than grade level. And I always thought, okay, like he may be more of a late bloomer in college. So I'm excited to watch him. Maybe he can have a, you know, a big time step.
I think they are too.
Yeah, I think there may be something there. Defensively, this was a top 40 defense if you adjust for opponent, and I you have to adjust for opponent. You have to adjust for pace if you're, you know, if you're looking at Tennessee's numbers. Otherwise, it looks like they have the worst defense in the country, which is not true. I kind of admired how they fit this defense to what they want their offense to be. Like, you could not run the football on those guys. They made sure to use personnel to ensure that. You could hit them with some bombs occasionally and throw the ball on them, but if you hit one, the offense gets the ball back, I guess. My one concern here, I guess I'll start with, is pass rush without having to blitz. So you lose Byron Young, a good number of linebackers. Do you share that concern, or is there a reason for optimism here?
No, it's definitely a concern. It's been a point of emphasis. Tennessee's coaching staff, starting with Tim Banks, the defensive coordinator, has been up front with that. Going back to first time we talked to him this offseason back in February, it was 2 points with the defense was shoring up the coverage, being a little bit tighter, particularly in zone. They weren't a very good zone team last season, and being able to get more pressure with the four-man rush, something that they didn't think they did very well last season, even with Byron Young. And they're going to be counting on some young guys to step up, some unknowns. Young was an all-SEC performer, kind of like Darnell Wright. He's going to be tough to replace. There's some young talent there, but is it ready to be as good as he was last season? Probably not. They've recruited well at that. They call it the Leo position. It's sort of a hybrid defensive end outside linebacker position with Joshua Josephs, James Pierce Jr. in the previous class. But those guys are sophomores. Caleb Herring is a guy that was the top-ranked player in the state of Tennessee. He maybe looked like a little bit of a development guy. Then he comes in January and puts on like 20 pounds in like 3 or 4 weeks. And now the staff thinks he can chip in and play. So you're asking some of these guys, you know, Joseph's played a little bit rotationally last season. You're asking these guys to play more, you know, to be more consistent, be more disruptive. I should mention they do bring back Roman Harrison, who's a veteran guy. He's probably going to be the starter at that one spot. You know, but there's some young guys there that showed some flashes in the spring, but they're young, right? There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be a consistency. Pierce, Joseph's, I'll throw Herring in there. Those guys need to have big summers to show that they can, you know, be able to come in and be more productive and make more things happen on a more consistent basis. I think Tyler Barron's a big guy for this defensive line, guy that's got a lot of ability, has flashed it at times, maybe hasn't put it all together. Maybe he's not always been bought in. He dealt with injuries a lot in 2021. He's opened the past two seasons as a starter, and then somebody else has sort of taken over that job. He's a guy that on third down and on passing downs, they like to move inside with his quickness against guards. And I think he was pretty effective in that role. So he's got a chance if he's all bought in and has everything on straight, he's a chance. You know, he's a guy that can play all three downs, play defensive end, one down, a kick inside. So on third down. So That's definitely a big concern. And the coaching staff has been open about, you know, we need to improve this. We need to improve this. And the proof is going to have to be in the pudding because, again, if you're talking about unknowns. You're talking about young guys that have talent, have ability, you know, but can they go out there and do it on Saturdays? And that's a big question. You're absolutely right, bud.
So in the secondary, Trevon Flowers, unless my depth chart's wrong, is basically the only real guy that played a lot who's gone. If this unit, which was kind of average-ish per my numbers, and you watch them a lot more than I do, I wasn't super impressed, but you know, like it is what it is. If they get better, is it because existing guys just took a big leap, or are there guys who didn't play a lot last year who may be threatening to take some of those spots?
Well, I think it's safety. You mentioned Flowers. I think safety, they're going to have a couple of veteran guys there. Jalen McCullough is a 38-game start at safety. He's a guy that just needs to get better. You wonder if he is what he is at this point. He's a guy that always seems to be in position, in the right position, which coaches love, especially at safety because of the last line of defense. But sometimes he doesn't make the play that's there in front of him, the routine play. He needs to do that more consistently. So that's maybe one example. I think Wesley Walker is a transfer from Georgia Tech. Second-year guy, or he played last season at Tennessee, but I think he's going to step into that starting role for Flowers at safety. I think he played pretty well those last two games where he started when Flowers was hurt. I think the bigger question might be at cornerback. It's an interesting situation because it's probably the most crowded position on the roster, but yet nobody left after spring ball. I mean, even coming out of the Orange Bowl, they were bringing in three touted freshmen. Jordan Matthews was a four-star guy, top 24/7 guy that Texas thought they were getting. Ricky Gibson out of Alabama was a guy that looked like he was going to go to Georgia at one point. Tennessee was able to hold out and win that one. And then Christian Conner out of Kentucky. Tennessee beat Kentucky heads up for him. Those are three long, athletic, talented corners, but they're going to be freshmen. So, and we've seen this coaching staff lean on experience. So I wonder how much those guys might play early. And then they brought in a transfer and Gabe Judy Lally from BYU, started his career at Vanderbilt. I think he was pretty solid, maybe not a star at BYU, but was pretty solid in coverage. He had like seven pass breakups, which is more than anybody on Tennessee's roster had. So to answer your question, though, with the way the way the staff operates, I think they're going to need those experienced guys to be more consistent, to play better. To improve, and I think their hope is that bringing in some new guys, bringing in some young competition. They did that at safety too with a couple of freshmen they really like. They're hoping that that makes these older guys realize that, hey, I got to fight for my spot. Whereas last season Tennessee was so beat up at corner, they pretty much had to play whoever was healthy that week. So you look at a guy like Kamal Haddon. Early last season, he looked like he was Tennessee's best cornerback. Then he was just kind of a head case, very erratic, did a lot of talking, did more talking than playing well, I would say. If you can get that guy to play like he's got all of that energy and that juice and you can get it all flowing in the right direction, he can be a pretty good corner. Denico Slaughter's a guy that played safety last season, moved to corner late in the year, looked like he was Tennessee's best corner, had a great game against Kentucky, great game against Clemson. You know, can he be a cornerback after being there all offseason and sort of adjusting and embracing that position? So you're looking at situations like that, guys, older guys that you know, it's kind of now or never for them. You're going to be looking, I think, more for those guys than for these freshmen that they really like and are really talented. You know, it's tough to throw a freshman in a cornerback because the other team's going to see, hey, that guy's a freshman. Let's throw at him till he proves something. And so that's just the nature of that position. And it's easy for those young guys to lose confidence. And so I think Tennessee's going to have to lean on some of those older veteran guys that you know, fans don't want to hear that. They always like the new guys, but I think that's the route Tennessee's just going to have to take just to even get better. I mean, they were 127th, I think, in pass defense last season. And that's an area that they've obviously got to improve.
If they do want to rotate, though, in the first month, Virginia, Austin Peay, Florida without Richardson, and then UTSA. UTSA can actually chuck it around a little bit, but Tennessee will score a million points on that defense, so it probably won't matter. Like, you can rotate guys in. And they should start 3-1, 4-0 with if they want to play a lot of guys. That'll be interesting. And then the schedule gets a decent bit tougher in terms of opposing quarterbacks you have to play. So got to get it right by the end of September. Where's the spot on this team, other than quarterback, which it may not even be quarterback, but with the biggest gap between the starters and the backups, like the spot where, hey, ooh, yeah, the backups are not players we want to be playing. The starters are actually, you know, pretty a lot better.
I think I would probably go with the offensive line. They've got some guys that have played, but behind that, they've got some guys that really haven't played a whole lot. You know, we talked about Jerome Carvin earlier at left guard. Who's going to replace him? You've got a guy, a six-year guy in Ollie Lane, who's been basically a career backup. He started some as an injury replacement a couple years ago, but didn't play a whole lot last season. They got a couple of veteran guys there that have been around but just haven't played. They brought in Andre Carrick from Texas, who his biggest contribution, I think, for Texas last season was sort of as a extra tight end. He was, you know, when they wanted to go sort of a run heavy package, he was on the field as a tight end. You know, played a little bit earlier in his career there, but and then maybe Addison Nichols, who's another former four-star guy, but he's a redshirt freshman, so a young guy, hasn't played a lot. So if they were to get some injuries on the offensive line, and even if they lost Cooper Mays, their center, you know, the center in this offense is so important because he's sort of they call him the brake, the gas pedal. He's the tempo guy. He's the guy that's got to, you know, because where he stands is where the rest of the offense stands. It sounds really basic, but when you're trying to snap the football with 32 seconds on the play clock, you got to have everybody lined up as fast as possible. And, you know, they coach the receivers and the running backs to get the ball to the umpire because he's the guy that spots the ball. So, you know, the center's the guy that's got to have, like, you know, be the energizer bunny that just keeps going and never gets tired. On top of all of the, you know, the physical things you have to do battling guys, you know, Cooper's a pretty typical center where he's a little bit undersized, 6'3", 305. You know, he's not one of these 6'6", 320 pound tackles, you know. So if they lost him, I think that would be, he's probably one of the top three or three most valuable guys on the team just because of what he brings, his experience. So what would they do? We don't, you know, I think Nichols would probably be his backup at this point. But again, he's a young guy, he's never played. So I'd probably point to the offensive line. You know, they've got four offensive tackles that probably not a lot of drop off between them. But, you know, if they lost some guys on the interior and had to move some things around, I just don't know how it would look. You know, that was one of the luxuries that I think Tennessee benefited from last season. So they didn't really have many injuries on the offensive line. I mean, four of their five starters played like almost 900 snaps. And then, you know, they had sort of a revolving door rotation at left tackle. But those guys were pretty similar in what they brought to the table, how they played.
Patrick Brown of GoBalls247. Make sure you guys listen to the GoBalls247 podcast as well. Thanks for joining the show, man. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, bud. Thanks for having me again.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.